with a wonderful campaign experience, Be the Church, and we got to see some of the great things that were happening out there. Moms and dads going out, doing planting trees, painting things, leaving their kids hanging on playground equipment for a couple hours. It was all very, very good. And I recall, you know, we had the big picnic and the baptisms afterwards, and talking to some of the people, I had some great conversations. And that reminds you, you know, if you got a story, if you saw God just show up and do something just really, really impressive, powerful, we want to hear about it. And I think in the newsletter that went out, there's a website or something, or an email address. Just jot that down and send it in to us, because, you know, one of the things that as leadership we were talking about, you know, what we want to see done, what we hope to accomplish, what we want to, one of the things is like, as Tommy Widmer, who really championed this thing, he goes, I'm waiting for the stories about what our great God and Savior Jesus Christ did. So if you saw something like that, please let us know. Had some other conversations. A couple of them, basically, they went like this. Greg, wasn't that a great time? Yes, we had a great. When are we going to do this again? And I'd say, what do you mean? When are we going to do this again? This Be the Church. When are we going to do this again? I said, tomorrow. Really? Where? I said, where are you going to work? Because that's what we have been teaching and preaching and admonishing and instructing and encouraging for years here, is that God has saved us, called us to himself, and he's calling us to his purposes. And I said, brother, where are you going to work? Because that's where he wants his influence to be shown and made evident in you there. Oh, okay, good. So someone else has got it. Now, what we're going to do today is a little transition here. Because what we want to do, we want to continue on with this theme, this paradigm of us being the church. And we have an opportunity coming up starting in the fall for the upcoming year, for this fall and the spring. And what I want to do is I want to kind of touch on a few things that we have coming up and why it's going to be beneficial for us. And this morning and tomorrow, what I want to do is I want to use a section of scripture from the book of Titus and as kind of like a template or an overview, and some good instruction from God's word to us as people about how sound doctrine is supposed to impact us, so that we can go out and we can impact the community for the name and the cause of Jesus Christ. So before we get going to the text, let's pray. Father, I do thank you. You're a big God. You're a great God. And I thank you that you brought us here today. I'm grateful that we have your word, because it is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. And Spirit, we're asking that the words that are written on the pages of your scripture, that you would bring to our hearts and our minds, so that we can understand more fully what you want us to do, how you want us to behave as your ambassadors, as your soldiers, as your bride, so that we can honor you. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son for us. Thank you for letting us have this opportunity here this morning. So if you have a Bible, if you'd like to turn to Titus chapter 2, we'll have some stuff kind of going up on the PowerPoint. Let me give you just kind of an overview of the book of Titus. Paul's writing as an older man to a younger man, Titus. Titus was a guy who was leading a church in the island of Crete. It was a very pagan community, a very difficult community for Christianity to grow and thrive. And it had been there for some time. How long, we don't know. It wasn't necessarily a new church plant, but it wasn't some old establishing. But they were trying to get things going. They were having some problems. And so Paul writes to Titus and says, here are some of the basic fundamentals, once again, about having a sound, healthy church. In fact, in the book of Titus, the word sound is used five times, which literally is translated into our language, hygiene. Hygiene. It means it's healthy, it's clean, it's beneficial, it's good for, and you got to have this stuff. So in chapter 1, he starts out, and he says this in verse 5. He says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains as I, and appoint elders in every city as I directed. He said, look, something's broken, and I want you to set it in order. And I want you to establish, make sure that you got proper leadership. In order to have a fully functioning, effective, healthy church, it's got to have good functioning leadership. And Paul uses the term, he goes, I want you to set an order. The word has this idea that something's broken. In a medical term, it would be that you got a bone that's broken and don't leave it like that, but you got to reset it. How many people have had a broken bone that had to be reset? Pretty easy, isn't it? Pretty comfortable process, isn't it? I have a good friend who's an orthopedic surgeon who had to set a broken leg on one of my dear friends. And I remember the conversation that has got back to me. The orthopedic surgeon, of course, IVs, medication, anesthesia, put the kid out because he said, you know what? This is one thing I could never do on my own kid because it's going to hurt. And it's not easy, but it is so necessary if you want it to grow properly. For a church to grow properly, it's got to have proper biblical leadership, and he talks about elders. You know, about several years ago, we as Grace Community Church, we went through a time where we had to set things in order with our leadership. And we were in a little time of transition, and some of the leadership, some of the men came together and said, you know what, we need to make sure that we're doing things correctly. What does the scripture have to say about leadership in the local church? And so we studied the scriptures. We saw about elders, pastors, bishops, overseers, that these are qualified men, that there is one senior pastor. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd, and everyone else is under him. And that there's a plurality of men who are qualified because of qualifications that are laid out here in Titus. He says, look, namely, if the man is above reproach, husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion, he must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain. He's hospitable. He loves what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he might be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Otherwise, in another book, 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he was laying out these same kind of qualifications. Also said, look, and his kid's got to be like this, and his household has got to be like this, and he can't be a new believer. In essence, these are guys who have walked with Christ, and that they're older, and that they're mature, and that this is something that they want to do. They've raised their households. They've established their families. They've walked with God. They want to have, then they feel that they've been called to have this impact. And when we made those decisions, it was like setting a broken bone. It hurt. It hurt. There were fights, disagreements, accusations, frustrations, and that's just from the elders amongst each other. It was a difficult time. But it was something that was necessary, and as we have seen over the years, that God has given us good, healthy growth in people because of what he has done. When you obey God and you do what he says, things happen. Many times they're good. He goes on in chapter 2 to talk about what the people are like. Older men, younger women, employees, how they should behave, how sound doctrine impacts them. And then in chapter 3, he winds up the whole thing and says, look, godly living shows up and it does these kind of things. It meets needs. It does good deeds. It has an impact. And that's really the essence of what a healthy, thriving church is all about. It's not overly complex. It's simplistic, but not easy. Get good leadership, have sound doctrine, make sure people are doing well and growing and thriving, and then all of a sudden unleash them on the community and watch God work. So what we're going to talk about today, we're going to focus in on chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, he's going to move from the leadership to the people, from pastors to people, from elders to everybody. That's you and I. And we're going to look today, we're going to look at older men and older women, and next week we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about the younger women and the younger men. And we're going to tie this into some of the opportunities that we have coming up and why they're going to be beneficial to us. So, first of all, sound doctrine. He starts off in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, look this, but as for you, Titus, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. As we've said before, the word sound doctrine literally is translated as a healthy teaching. Now, he doesn't say, look, all I want you to do is preach good theology. He says, what I want you to do, Titus, is I want to make sure that you're speaking the things that are fitting for sound doctrine. The word fitting means the things that are apparent and obvious. In that, if you're preaching sound doctrine, if you're opening up healthy truth and you're making sure that the people understand it, make sure that they also understand the application, because sound doctrine, when it is consumed by people, it changes their lives and it brings out healthy living. Just like consuming good food is beneficial for you and over the long run it shows up, so is eating diseased, unhealthy food is going to show up and have an effect on you over the long run. If we're going to be people that want to consume some of the diseased doctrine, some of the unhealthy teaching, some of the things that are just totally bad for us, it's going to show up and it's going to affect our lives. Conversely, if we want to consume the good truth, the wholesome truth, the authentic, genuine Word of God, it's going to show up and it's going to have an impact. Because sound doctrine impacts people. He talks about the older men first. Now, the word older man, basically, as I look at it, and as I try to get a lot of different views from commentaries, it's basically, it looks like it's someone who's 50 years or older. For you guys that are out there that are in this group, I'm your brother now, okay? I am one of your peers, okay? I'm not someone who will talk down to you. I will not be some young punk that will speak up to you. I am your brother. I am 50. I have got my ARP card that was sent to me. I did not send him any money, though. Anyway, guys, this is something that applies to us as older men who have walked with God. This is what the expectation is. He says older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible. Older men are to be sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Let's take a look at some of this stuff. First of all, he says that the older men, as the result of sound doctrine being proclaimed, and it fits, they're to be temperate. The word temperate means not easily influenced by outside forces. Many people quickly think about, this is a guy who doesn't drink too much. He's temperate. If you set hot water out and you say, let it temper first, let it calm down. Temperate has this idea that he's not easily influenced by outside forces. And why shouldn't that be the case? When you're a man who has walked with God and you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you've had the opportunity to say, you know what, I've seen a lot of things come and go, and I've got filters that have been set up in my life. I'm not too easily swayed by very many things. You can wave a blank check underneath my nose, and it really doesn't sway me a whole lot. You can try to tempt me with power, with pleasure, with prestige, and all those kind of things. But the older man is able to say, you know what, I have seen this come, and I've seen this go. I've been able to see how these outside influences can devastate a man if he doesn't know how to handle them correctly. He's not emotionally one that gets all of a sudden high and then low. He's temperate because he has walked with the Lord and he's been able to go through life experiences and he's got something to show for it. It is sound doctrine in the Lord Jesus that has showed up in his life. Second of all, I said that this is a man that's dignified. The word dignified has this idea that he's worthy of respect, worthy of genuine respect, not synthetic respect. It's not the kind of respect that when a man walks into a room that everyone all of a sudden turns to him solely because of his title. There's some respect that is given. We are to honor authorities. We honor those in authorities. There are some people who have been given positions of authority and we give them an appropriate amount of honor. And they have been given titles, whether it would be president, officer, teacher, whatever it is, there's a certain amount of respect. But this kind of respect is about something that is earned. It is something that is earned. It is something that other people look at and just say, you know what, there is something, there's a quality about this man that has grasped my attention. And when he speaks, I listen. Because when he says something, I feel stupid. He maybe doesn't have all the technological gizmos. He maybe doesn't know how to put together a PowerPoint with audio, with movie clips, with popcorn and pop. He has a mechanical pencil and a legal pad. But by God, when he speaks, he has something to say. He's worthy of respect. He's dignified. You know, men, what good is it for us to grow old if we don't grow godly? What good is it to just grow old but not grow more godly? Two years ago, I had the opportunity to take my family down to visit my folks. They live in a retirement community in Florida. They moved there because of hating the snow and poor health, and they need to be outside. This place has golf courses all over the place. Everyone just golfs all day long. Golf, 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 golf. That's all they do. And when you listen to the people talk, that's all they talk about is golfing. Well, my son Samuel and I decided we're going to go out for a jog on the golf cart paths. Just kind of change things up a little bit. You know, it's like, what are those people? Well, I think they're exercising. I don't know. Strange. Never seen that before here. And they're not riding in anything. So anyway, but we're out, and my son starts talking. He goes, hey, what do you think about this place, Dad? And I go, hey, you know, it's nice. You know, I can see, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, it's good for them. Do you think you'd ever retire to a place like this, Dad? I said, personally, no. And he said, good. Because if you would ever retire to a place like this, and you would spend the rest of your days living like these men, I'm not coming to visit with you. I will lose all respect for you. I should have used it as an excuse to just stop, catch my breath because I was tired, but it's like, you know what? It's true. What good is it, guys, to grow old and to invest solely into hobbies or just waiting for living retirement if we don't grow godly and more useful? Paul says last, he goes, sensible, that these guys are sensible. They're the ones who can turn to the younger man and say, gentlemen, this is how you handle a buck. This is how you treat a lady. This is how you raise a child. This is how you encourage the hurting. This is how you kick the teeth in of the wicked. This is how you live a life that's marked as one as discernment. It is making wise decisions. It's not living foolishly like a young man. It's living wisely as one who has walked with the Lord and understands sound doctrine. He goes on to say he is sound. He is healthy. An older man who is healthy. Maybe not physically, but he's healthy in his faith. He's not shaken. He's healthy in love. He knows the source of his love. He knows how to give it away. And he's healthy in his perseverance. He's steady. He's reliable. He can be counted on. Gentlemen, I would say this to you. Those who can best declare the character of God are those who have walked with him the longest. Not who have lived the longest, but have walked with him the longest. Gentlemen, when you have walked with God for a long time, you're temperate, you're dignified, you're sensible, you're sound, you're not perfect, we know that. Your wife knows that, your kids know that, we know that. But sound doctrine is having an impact in your life. You are respected. The trouble is that you're rare. You're rare. Because too many guys growl into mics. Too many guys don't make it. They don't get to the point of being 50, 60, 70 years old. and still walking with him. You're rare. One of our favorite outings as a family is to go to Wilson's Apple Orchard. Love apples. Love to make applesauce. My kids are tired of hearing this question. But I'll tell them, son, you like the apples? Yeah. When's the best time to plant an apple tree? It's 20 years ago. If you want apples now, you should have thought about it 20 years ago. If you want wholesome, ripe, healthy, delicious, mature apples, that process should have started 20 years ago. Maturity doesn't happen overnight. And older men, brothers, my peers, too many times the church in Western culture is too youth-focused. You might say hearty amen to that. How are we going to reach the youth? How are we going to reach the youth? It almost sounds like they're giving up on us. Well, when there's only two or three of us around, I can understand why. But for you men here, my brothers, for you guys that are here, you are desperately needed. Because if you've walked with Christ for many years, we need you as an influence on this church and within this community. We need seasoned veterans in the faith. Seasoned soldiers on a mission who are able to bring their discernment, their sensibility, their dignity, their faith, their love, and their perseverance to the issues of today that this church and these families and these people are facing. You are respected, you're rare, and you're required. Your presence is required, gentlemen. You may be guys that have raised your families. You've established your business interest. You've developed relationships within the community and within the church. You now have more time, maybe more finances, more maturity, more wisdom, and it is now to become a man of greater influence. It is now not the time to glide. It is a time to thrive. It is a time to grow. It is a time to continue on. As we sit in our elders' meetings, and so often it's like the work is getting so laborious, large, and involved, and it's like, where are the men that will step up to help? Some of you men may aspire to become elders. You've raised your family well. You've walked with Christ. You love to teach. You understand what sound doctrine is, and you want God, and you feel God calling you to expand your circle of influence. And it might be that you desire and aspire to be an elder someday. Maybe you want to help join the guys that serve the church as a deacon. Maybe you don't want some title of deacon. You just want to roll up your sleeves and just say, look, I want to help. I want to serve. Your life with walking with Christ has not been wasted years, but maybe preparatory years, so that you can step into some avenue of service, some avenue of helping, to step in and make a profound impact on our mission with our Savior. A month or so ago, Steve Lindemann, who is overseeing the faith family, the community groups, those groups that are out in the community, he wrote us this very nice long letter about some of the issues that he's facing. All these people say, I want to be in a faith family. I want to meet with a group of people during the week in a home. I want to be able to grow. And he goes, I've got no one that will step up. I have no place to send these people. Because so many of the men that maybe he feels he can call on are so busy with their families. They're establishing their jobs. They are the young men who are struggling to keep their head above water. You see, guys, we don't have a faith family problem. We don't have an administration problem. We don't have a logistics problem. We got a man problem. And we need some older men who will step up and bless us with your walk with Christ so that we can thrive. There's a couple things coming up that I think will help us. Starting in the fall on Wednesday nights when we're going to have this Thrive, there's going to be some opportunities for the men. Men in this church, men in this community, opportunities for your friends. One is going to be a study taught by Captain Tom Widmer. It's called Halftime. It's designed for those guys who feel that they're at the halftime of their life. And Tommy wants to take you through some steps because maybe God is calling you from being successful to being incredibly significant. Maybe you don't know. It's like, look, I've lived half of my life. I want to reevaluate things. I don't know exactly what God's calling me to do. Tommy's got a study that'll help sort some of those things out. Tommy's the perfect guy to do this. Because if you would ask Tom Widmer 10 years ago, what are you planning on doing? He was going to finish his tour of duty as captain of Iowa City Police Department, teach a little bit, and grab his fishing pole. He was going to retire. Tommy Widmer has retired, and he's fishing for men. He's on staff here. He's the one that helped champion this project that we got going. Tommy Widmer is a man that I want to grow up and be like. Because he's not going to glide. He's going to thrive. He was a man of great respect, great admiration. He had great influence. And the Lord is taking him to another level. He's got greater respect and greater influence, and he's going to touch more lives. And he wants some of you guys, brothers, to come and join us in that. You may say, you know what, that's not for me. Maybe you're one of these guys, look, I've been a Christian for maybe 10 days. I have no idea what I'm doing. I need to grow. The sound doctrine, I need to sit and feed off of this stuff. Lincoln McElravy is going to be doing an inductive Bible study, which means he's going to sit down, and he's going to help some of us to sit down and learn, how do you study the Bible? I mean, when I was a young man, I got saved at 18, didn't know what I wanted to do. I just got saved, and so I went to the book of Job. Wanted to figure out what I was going to do with my life. I had no idea. You know, talk about this farmer who lost his cattle, his ranchers, his friends, family, everything. You go, reading the wrong book, I think. So he is going to help you understand that when you open up the book, it's like, this makes sense. This makes sense. Because sound doctrine, guys, it'll impact us so we can impact others. He goes on to the ladies, the older women. He said, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Older men, older women, same kind of age-appropriate categories, 50 and older, somewhere around there. They're older women. They're probably done with their childbearing years. They, too, have had the opportunity to walk with Christ because when you have a lady that has been feeding off of sound doctrine and she's an older woman, that likewise she is reverent in her behavior. The word reverent means sacred, set apart. It has the idea of holy. And it's not so much the things she does, it's her behavior. She has walked with her Savior. And the commander, he says, look, be holy just as I am holy. She has walked and he has impacted her life and her behavior is reflected of that. Because how we behave is a direct result of what we believe. Everybody here has some theology. People outside these doors have theology. People at the university have theology. People in the marketplace have theology. It's just that some people have good theology and other people have diseased, poisoned, self-centered, wrong theology. And this is a woman who's been eating the good stuff, the scriptures, Jesus. And it shows up. Her behavior is also marked by her tongue. She is not a malicious gossip. Now, guys, sometimes we don't understand this. I have a little bit of an insight. I work with 14 women, and I have 5 daughters. She said, what? Where'd that come from? I love my daughters, and I love the ladies that I work with. But let's not pull strings here, okay? Ladies, some of you are nodding your head. You know darn well where this is going. The word malicious gossip in the Greek comes from the word diablos. You know where that comes from? That's right, the devil. This is devil talk. So when we're just innocently sharing prayer requests that start to get malignant, ladies, when it says don't be malicious gossips, it has the picture of the devil coming up right alongside you, putting his arm around you and say, why don't you speak for both of us right now? It causes division. It causes separation. It is slanderous. It is false. It is all those things that are characteristic of the enemy that is now coming out of the mouth of a sister. It said that she's not enslaved to much wine. Does that mean that she can't drink? No. It said she's not enslaved to much wine. She's also not enslaved probably to a bunch of other things as well. The word enslaved means I became a slave to this. I can't get along without it. Whether it's the buffet line, the liquor store, or Oprah, all of them are detrimental to your health, okay? She is not enslaved to these things. What happens is that ladies, older ladies, when the kids are gone and all of a sudden your responsibilities start to slow down a little bit and you've got lots of time on your hand, what can happen to some ladies is they don't have enough good things to fill up their day and they start spiraling downhill. They become enslaved to things that they don't need to be enslaved to, and their tongue is like an outboard motor. It's just going and it's deadly. But sisters, remember, ladies, I'm in the same group. I'm 50. I'm talking to you as sisters. I'm not talking down to you. I'm not a punk talking up to you. We need you. This body of believers needs godly women. That it is evident by their behavior that they know Jesus, that they've walked with Jesus, that he has impacted her life. And it says, it's not that she's doing these, it said, look, but she spends her time, she is teaching what is good. She's teaching what is good. The word good means this. It's excellent, surpassing, noble, useful, precious, magnificent, and praiseworthy. She is investing some of her time into these kind of things. What are these good things that she's to be teaching? Well, she is to teach what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husband, that the word of God may not be dishonored. The word encourage there is also translated as train. Training takes time. Training takes person person-to-person contact. Training needs instruction, correction, affirmation. You're doing it right. It's helping. It's building up. And it's beneficial. To train is to disciple, ladies. And we desperately need some of you older, godly sisters to look back and impact so many of the young women that are in this congregation. Now, this list is not an exhaustive list. It's not that these are the only things that you can teach, ladies. It's not exhaustive, but it is essential. It is highly, highly essential. And the reason why is because in all aspects of life, young ladies, you can succeed in all sorts of things. You can succeed in your career. You can succeed in your prestige. You can succeed in your bank account. But if you fail in these areas, it will cloud everything. If you say, that is such a feminist thing to say. No, it's not. Because when we talk about the guys, we tell them the same things. If you want to be a passive or chauvinistic, misappropriated male, and you want to indulge yourself in your career and neglect your family, you will be challenged and you'll be mocked. And we will correct you because it's not appropriate. Now, some of you ladies are thinking, well, what about my career? You probably are going to go on and just say women aren't supposed to work outside the home. Scriptures doesn't say that, ladies. Scriptures don't say that. But I'll clue you in on this. You ask the men and the people who help with counseling in this church. And I don't think one time that they've had a lady that'll come in and just say, I need some counseling because I'm struggling with my career right now. Or I've just had a major blowout in my career and I got fired and I failed at my job. Okay, let's find another one. But you come in and say, I am struggling with my marriage and I just left my husband. I've neglected my kids. I've had serious moral blowouts in my marriage. That's what's filling these guys' time. It's not career choices gone bad. It's marital decisions and choices that are just going down the sewer. That's why this, even though it's not exhaustive, it is essential. Because you succeed anywhere else and you fail here, it'll cloud everything. And what we need is some older, wiser women who will sit down with younger, needy, younger women and just say, this is absolutely true. I've seen marriages thrive. I've seen marriages fail, and here are the reasons why. Ladies, there is an opportunity for you as well coming up on Wednesday nights. One is called the Husband Project. No, we're not going to sign your husband up for it. This is a class, and I was thrilled to see this, how to bless your husband, how to love your husband. These things right here, so many of these things, how to flirt with your husband. And you know who should be there? The older women. The older women. Because we need, ladies, sisters, we need some older women who have thriving marriages, great relationships with their husband, have walked with Jesus, and to sit there unashamed and to look the younger women in the eyes and say, you know what? I know how to satisfy my man physically, sexually, emotionally, every aspect, and I don't need a shopping bag from Victoria's Secret, and I don't need Oprah's theology. It doesn't work. Would you like to learn how? This is where the older women are so needed. because the younger women are going like, you know what? I've got 2 kids, 3 kids. I'm losing my mind. Life's a whirlwind. And you need an older woman that says, I know. I know. Here is how we navigate the white waters. Here's how you bless your husband. Here's how you treat your children special. Here's how you keep your head screwed on straight. Here are the people that will be beneficial for you to hang out with. Here are the Jezebels and the barflies to stay away from because they've left their husbands and you have no place being with them. These are women with experience. These are women who are noble. They have walked with Jesus and their behavior is declared to be reverent. There's also one about parenting, that it's a heart work. My wife gets phone calls quite frequently from other young mothers. What do you do? What do you do in this situation? When we were younger and we had a few kids, there was older women in my wife's life that would say, how did you deal with this? How do you deal with a husband that doesn't quite get it? How do you deal with children that seem to be rebellious? My God, I got a teenager coming and I'm scared to death. What do you do? Those sorts of things. Parenting, it's hard work. You know, it's one thing to buy a book and say, here's an author that none of us know that lives far away and we're paying her royalties to teach us. What about the older women who will just say, you know what? This works. This works. You want proof? Look at my kids. You want proof? Look at my marriage. It's not perfect, but here's what the scriptures say. This is how it works out in our lives. This is why it's beneficial. 2 Bible studies for women. One's called Living Free. Some of you ladies may be struggling with some great bondages, great struggles. The enemy's got great strongholds. Maybe you got a past that's filled with abuse and all sorts of stuff, and you're really dealing with things. You can't go through this alone. And there's some older women that need to be there. And another one is called David, A Heart Like His. How someone can walk with God. And you younger women, you need to be there because you need to look at the lives of these older ladies and just say, you know what? I want to be like her. I want to imitate her like she is imitating Jesus. And as we come together, and as we start to learn, and we continue to learn, and we continue to grow, and we continue to thrive, it's not that we're not just going to be the church. We're going to be a healthy church. Because sound doctrine impacts people, and it leaves a blast zone around them. It leaves a blast zone of effect. Last couple of verses of Titus, it says this. This is a trustworthy statement. That means bank on this. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet the pressing needs that they may not be unfruitful. Sound doctrine, when we understand it, when we feed it, when we consume it, is to be something that is obvious to those on the outside. It becomes visible by the things that God has called us to do. You see, when the righteous thrive, according to Solomon, the people rejoice. May we grow to be used by our Savior and our King in this community to such a degree that the people in this community rejoice because there are people in this community that are trusting their Savior and are thriving in that so that others may come and join us in following Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to understand it and then to live it. And I guess, Lord, just give us a heart for following you. Lord, for those of us that are the older men and women, let us not listen to the plans that the world has for us.